Okay, so we're doing the laws of Hanukkah. We all know that on the 25th of Kislev, Hanukkah begins, and we don't do hesped, we don't do eulogy, and we don't fast on these days. Even if a person had a bad dream, and for whatever reason he thinks he should fast, people who have to sit shiva do sit shiva, correct. Hanukkah is not like a biblical Yom Tov. You're allowed to do malacha, you're allowed to do work. There is a custom that the women don't do malacha for the first half hour when the candles are lit. And if a person has that custom, so he has that custom. I'm summarizing Shulchan Aruch and a little bit of Mishnah Berurah. We don't necessarily have to sit down and have a Yom Tov meal, but you do have to eat. Meaning if a person wakes up and he has no appetite to eat or drink something because you're not allowed to fast on these days. Some say that if you have a meal, so there is a little bit of a mitzvah, because on these days was the Chanukat HaMizbeach, and the custom is, says the Rama, that if you sing and you praise Hashem in the meals, so then it's a Sudat HaMitzvah. That's our custom in general. Some say that you should eat cheese on Hanukkah because the miracle happened through cheese, that Yehudis gave the general some salty cheese, and because he ate the salty cheese, he was thirsty, so she gave him wine, and then he fell asleep, and then she cut off his head and brought it to us, and then we were able to win the war. Yeah? Okay. One was Yahrzeit, doesn't fast on Hanukkah. Now, Hanukkah, we say everyone has to do, even if a person is very poor, he has to put together the money, even if he has to take a loan, or sell some of his stuff in order to have a candle to light Hanukkah candles, he should. The Shulchan Aruch does not bring us all the options that we learned in the Gemara. Shulchan Aruch says on the first day you light one, on the second day you light two, etc. Our custom is that everyone in the family lights, and ideally each one should light either in their own menorah, where it's very distinct that it's separate, or in their own place, so that someone who's looking from the outside could tell how many days it is. If you have 15 people for Shabbos Chanukah, mm-hmm. and you don't have 15 menorahs, so you start gluing the candles to silver foil, and each one's going to light, so you have to make sure that each group of candles is separate, and preferably in a distinct spot, meaning in different windows, so it's very discernible how many nights it is tonight. You're not supposed to use an oil lamp with two wicks for two people. Meaning, sometimes a person wants to be original, especially in yeshiva, you see people becoming very original Hanukkah time. So if you're going to take a bowl and put in some oil and then put one wick on one side, one wick on the other side, that's not good. Each one has to be in its own vessel. Now, I don't know why people get so original when it comes to Hanukkah. Hanukkah, we have a mitzvah of Hidur. So, get a nice menorah. You can get a decent menorah for a few shekels. Not so expensive. People spend more money on a baguette than they spend on Hanukkah. It's a little bit silly. You go out and indulge in popsicle sticks and stuff like that. When it comes to Hanukkah, people suddenly use bottle caps to fill with oil, to put in wicks, all kinds of ingenious ideas, which are very nice. But it's a mitzvah, and like every mitzvah, we should beautify it. Where does one light his Hanukkah candles? So in yeshiva, you light it where the yeshiva tells you. Because unfortunately, we have a history of tragedies where people, every Hanukkah there are fires. And in yeshivas, people have been killed. And so the rule is you don't light unless where the yeshiva tells you. Usually the yeshivas tell people to light their Hanukkah candles by the lunchroom, so all the candles are together. And that's fine. A person shouldn't be a wise aleck and say, yeah, I'll do it by the window in my room, and I'll be careful. Because you say you'll be careful, and the next guy says, he'll be careful, and that's how fires happen and people get killed. So if you're in yeshiva, you got to go by yeshiva policy. You don't want to be in yeshiva, don't be in yeshiva. If you're in yeshiva, you can't play games and start saying, well, I'll light where I see fit. There's a reason why the yeshiva says what it says, if it says. I mean, in Israel, there is an aspect where there's slightly less of a danger because the buildings are made of stone, they're not made of or concrete, they're not made of wood. On the other hand, I could tell you that when I was in America as a Rav, so every year we had fires. And Baruch Hashem, no one was killed, but that. It's a hazard. You can't take 50, 100, or 300, or 500, like America's Rav, young people, and tell them to light candles and assume that everyone has the intelligence to be careful about it. You're right, that 95% will. But you know what? When you have 400 students and 95%, it means that you have 5 students who won't. That's enough to endanger everyone's lives.
So you can't, if you live in like a similar situation, you can't just have one person light when everybody's present, like Matzias Kula?
I don't think so. It's Neri Yishu Beito. The Sephardim have the custom that their parents are Motzi them.
Right.
But for us like Ashkenazim, it's not so simple.
So like in the Pluga, for example, we used to just, used to still, I mean, like, it's, get everybody together, and one person lights, and it's supposed to like Matzias Kula.
So maybe that's like in shul. In shul, we also light. So you do pilsum hinisa, but ideally, if possible, every person should light.
Really?
Yeah.
Even,
I mean, again, I don't know what the safety situation is. Right. But halachically, technically, as far as I understand, yeah, each person will ask their rabbi, but I think so. Our custom is that we light a shamish, because we don't want to come to use the light of the menorah. We're not supposed to use it. And sometimes people want to be wise, Alex. So they say, I don't need a shamish. There are the fluorescents. There are other lights around. I don't need the shamish. So you just have to remember that sometimes, let's say, you leave the room and you turn off the light. Then you walk back into the room just to get your wallet or something. Or you look at the clock. You've ended up using the Hanukkah lights.
When the shamish
it's a good question. The same thing is if you're lighting outside. So very often people light outside and they figure, I don't need a shamish. There are lights out here. Yeah, but who are we kidding? If you're looking for the matches or something else and you started lighting the Hanukkah lights, you end up using the lights of the menorah. So it's a good idea to stick to the custom. Our custom is to light a shamish, you light the next one. So light it. The menorah has to be placed before you light it, and you can't light it and then put it in its proper place. It has to be in its proper place when you light it, and it has to be in a place where it can remain lit reasonably for a half hour, for 45 minutes after you lit it. Technically it's only a half hour, assuming you light it at the right time. Now you can experiment with this. Shabbos Hanukkah usually we're by Mayan Luz, and I always light out the window, and they live in Harnov on the top floor on one of the highest mountains. So they always tell me, don't you think it's going to go out? And I always tell them, no, it won't. And they say, what do you mean? You're lighting it outside and there's a wind. And every year we go through this again. Every year I tell them, come and see. And then they come and see. And after an hour, they see that it's still lit. And they're always impressed again. And what's the trick behind it? That if you're lighting right near a wall, I experimented before I did this, but it's been working for 7 years now, so it's okay. In their building, the way the wind blows, when you light, I light just out the window, and then I close the window. So the trick is to get it lit. But once it's lit and you close the window, so then the wind has no place to go behind the candles. So the wind doesn't come there. Wind has to have a vacuum. It has to have a place to go. So because I'm lighting it right near the window, on the outside of the window, so it doesn't blow out. You can experiment and you'll see. I used to light outside, and I made a box without a front. I didn't have glass. But I made a box around the candles with silver foil, of course, so the box doesn't catch on fire. And very often that's enough, because the second the wind doesn't have where to go behind the candles, so the wind can't enter the box. I mean, there's a science behind it. You don't need the glass in front of the box necessarily. So experiment, but you have to light in a place where the candles won't, or the candles or the lamp won't go out. Ideally, we light with oil. And the oil preferably should be oil that's edible. It's not a ma'akev. I mean, any oil is fine as long as the oil lights normally. Preferably we light with olive oil. The miracle was with olive oil. But it's also fine to light with candles because the candles light beautifully. There is an ideal to have it lit a nice amount of time. I mean, you don't want to use the minimum amount. But the minimum we said was a half hour. Yeah.
What about putting like an additive the oil to make it burn a different color, purple or green, stuff like that? Is that allowed or not?
I have to look it up. There's a Tosefta that discusses that on Friday they used to add salt to the wick to make it light a certain color. I don't remember if it's a brighter yellow. Yeah, that's what it says in the Tosefta. And the Rambam, I think, brings it la'alacha. I don't think the Shulchan Aruch brings it, but I think the Rambam brings it. So I have to see if anyone discusses it by Hanukkah. I don't know which salt they were using. I don't remember what it says in the Tosefta. We could look it up. It's probably the Tosefta in the second chapter. But we have to check. I don't know the answer to that one.